Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are ya? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc Holliday. Isaac, what's up, man, on this happy Tuesday, terrific Tuesday?
Hey, Doc, I'm feeling pretty good, man. I mean, all is well. The day is Tuesday. It's kind of strange that Today is Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm tripping. Yeah.
Well, see, it's kind of wild that we have football on Tuesday night. I mean, significant football played last night, too, between two division foes, not only in the NFC West, but also in the NFC East. And then to have two games pretty much, you know, go and play, you know, almost down to the wire the way it did, man. So feeling pretty good. You know, I could imagine the Seattle Seahawks aren't feeling as good as we are this morning, but you know, that is what it is. They got a lot of work they need to do up there in Seattle. But as for the Los Angeles Rams, man, it's holding steady, back in first place, and really ready to challenge the Cardinals for the division crown.
Indeed. Now, we're back in first place, and the reason why the Seattle Seahawks aren't feeling pretty well is because they came to SoFi on a crazy-ass week, crazy 10 days for the Rams, man. I think the Rams, we had nearly 30 players in COVID-19 protocol over the last 10 days, man. So crazy that the game had to be moved to Tuesday, which it was. I think we still ended up without 16 players because of the COVID protocols, including three starters, Rob Havenstein, Tyler Higbee, and Jordan Fuller. But still, we played the ball. I mean, Seattle was without some players too. But anyway, we played. We got the dub, 20-10, played extremely well, defense balled out. The first time, man, Von Miller got his first sack as an L.A. Ram. And the thing about that, bro, is our three best pass rushers who we knew was going to be a three-headed monster. Leonard Floyd got a sack, Aaron Donald got a sack, Von Miller got a sack. We come in, pretty much shut down Seattle, man, get a 20-10 lead. I got Cooper Kupp breaking records and stuff. We're going to discuss that in a minute, but Isaac, have you ever seen anything as crazy than what the Rams had to go through the last 10 days, this last week, man, with all this COVID stuff and the game been changed to Tuesday? And I know Sean McVay said it's pretty much probably the craziest week he had as far as coaching.
Well, Doc, it's the state of sports, you know, globally. It's the state of sports, you know, right here where we live. So, You know, you start to expect situations like we had last week with the COVID-19 protocols, guys going in and out, making sure that everybody's safe and healthy that's going to be participating in these sporting events. So the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks were not exempt from it, but go out and have two teams go out and play as well as they did with the lack of practice that they had, man. I felt like, you know, just mentally, they knew what was on the line. Seattle fighting for their playoff lives. The Los Angeles Rams fighting for, you know, what's at stake for us, you know, being able to host a home playoff game, you know, at the way it is right now. So, but a total team effort, Doc, by the Los Angeles Rams, man. When you look all over the field and, you know, it kind of seems like it's hard to say this and it's strange to say this, but it's kind of like Aaron Donald's been under the radar as far as publication and being supported and just the way he plays. Doc, he was effective on just about every defensive snap last night. You talked about Von Miller getting his first snap, and you talked about Mr. Leonard Floyd, who was referred to as Leonard Little by one of the sportscasters last night. I thought that was funny. Get his sack. But Aaron Donald was a guy who was being triple teamed. He beat a double team to get his sack. And just all the attention for the Seattle Seahawks was based solely on Aaron Donald putting pressure on Russell Wilson, forcing him to throw the football when he didn't want to and just get rid of the ball a lot sooner than he did. But his effect on the team, Doc, I mean, just what he can do, he can just wreck an offense and set other guys up to make plays on the defensive end and even on the back end, man. I mean, with the tips and the interceptions that he can garner from the pressure he brings. You know? So I just feel like Aaron Donald, man, he's made his eighth consecutive Pro Bowl this year. I just feel like he's not been getting, you know, the normal publication like he should, as he always should be getting.
That's funny you said that, man, because watching the game and watching highlights, I said the same thing. You see Aaron Donald get a sack, and it's like he's constantly putting pressure and bringing hell every single play. But, I mean, I don't even think we've been talking about him enough, man. I know national media hasn't been talking about him enough, but he doesn't care. He continues to ball out, man. He balled out, and Von Miller talked about Von getting his first sack as an L.A. Ram. I mean, just reading, my man said he took the test, went home, started playing Call of Duty. Got the call, he was clear. Didn't practice it, didn't do anything. I think he said it's his first time ever he didn't practice or anything and played a game. But the funny part to me is that he took the test, went home, started playing Call of Duty, got the call that he was cleared. Went upstairs and started packing to go, you know, but he said, hell, he finished his Call of Duty game first. He finished that first. Then he went and got ready to start playing. That was funny, man. So but you're right with AD, man, that defense holding Seattle to 10 points, regardless of the circumstances, you're still holding Russell Wilson to 10 points. He still had, you know, his big receiver, DK Metcalf. So to play the way they played, and we're going to talk about, you know, that Rams offense. But, oh, bro, I got to let you salute. We got to salute Cooper Kupp, man. Cooper Kupp with another great game. Let's see what he ended up with, Isaac. I forgot. 10 catches? Not. Hold on. Let me see. Coop went nuts. Anyway, 9 catches, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns. But more importantly, he's now the Rams' single-season record holder with 122 receptions, 14 TDs, but 122 receptions on the year. And Isaac, I think you knew somebody who had the record before him, right?
Indeed, I do, man. I just saw the guy in the mirror. Not long ago, at 119. But you know what, Doc? Let me be one of the first to, you know, publicly congratulate one Cooper Kupp, man, for a great season thus far. I think he has about 3 games left to play. But just his steady, his consistency, his ability to get open, run after the catch. He's our punt returner. And just to be that guy who the defense is focusing on week in and week out and still produce that level of production. Congratulations to Cooper. I mean, if anyone was going to break it, you could see that, you know, he was trending towards that way. Not only that, man, he made his first Pro Bowl. He picked as his first Pro Bowl player season this year. Just a tremendous job by Cooper. And just being on key, being in sync with Matthew Stafford and being where he's supposed to be and not ever fooling the quarterback, man. He's just making plays all over the field. I mean, he's a hard worker. His play to me, you know, sometimes I can kind of see a Stephen Curry trait in him. As far as when Stephen moves without the football, without the basketball, he's constantly moving, constantly in motion. I can see Cooper Kupp being the same type player. As far as when the first route or the first read isn't there, he continues to play football to get open, and he turns into that backyard guy and still makes a huge strike on a certain play, getting the ball down the field. But congratulations to Cooper, man. It's a great feat. And let's be honest, Doc, he couldn't do it without a Matthew Stafford. It couldn't be done without that offensive line blocking for him and the other guys, the other receivers, the Beckhams, the Robert Woods, and the Van Jeffersons that pull coverage from him as well and allow him to get open and be able to do what he does. So, but the highlight and the light is shining on Cooper Kupp this week. And who knows, Doc? He has about 1,600 yards. I finished with 1,781. As the highest single season receiving yards for the Rams in 1995, Cooper Kupp may be going towards that 2,000 yard mark. And that means he'll surpass the great Megatron, who happens to be a Hall of Famer. And we could see it happen, Doc. We got three games left, and it just may play into that. So congratulations to Cooper.
How crazy is that, man, with the numbers he's putting up now? I said, I kind of knew this was coming because, hey, before the season, you was trying to downplay it. I was like, look, man, Cooper Kupp he's going to dinner with Stafford and his family, man. That's why I called him. I nicknamed him the dinner guest. Now, the dinner guest was eating, and the dinner guest been eating on the field as well, because it's one thing to be good friends with the quarterback, but it's a whole nother thing to get the rock thrown your way, then it's a whole nother thing to catch it and produce the way he's been producing. So just because you're best friends with the quarterback, that don't mean automatically you're going to produce. But this guy's production, man, for real, especially in a game like this, bro. And I'm watching that second touchdown was just so pretty. To me, man, it wasn't nothing but a skinny post. It was a skinny post, and Stafford put it right in the perfect spot. I mean, it was a perfect pass, and he just snatches it. And you said something, man, because they know that Cooper Kupp is going to get targeted every game, but it doesn't matter. And it baffles me, though, sometimes that damn defenses still get confused and put linebackers over Cooper, man, when they throw him in the slot. And linebacker ain't got no damn chance. And Cooper Kupp just been cooking cats, man. He continues to cook cats.
Well, you gotta salute to Coach Sean McVay as well, being able to formation, manipulate defenses the way that he does, and put Cooper Kupp in a position where he can't be double teamed as much. I mean, if you're often putting him outside the numbers, I mean, it's easier, much easier to double team him with a center or a corner and a safety. But when you drop him in the slot, you know, you have linebackers in there that have their keys, and they have to first and foremost play and see if they're going to run that football. And if we are, I mean, they got to do their job as a linebacker, you know, stuffing that run. But if we're not, and we're using the play fake, the play action fake, they're coming up, that gives Cooper Kupp an advantage to get behind them. Now, that second touchdown, Doc, that he threw, that he caught, the pass by Matthew Stafford was just amazing. Yeah. I mean, you see the anticipation. You see the trust that these two guys have. You know what? He could have threw it to Odell Beckham on the other side because they ran mirror routes on that. But just the anticipation. Cooper Kupp was not even out of his break before that ball was released. Yeah. And he hit him in stride, and he wasn't touched by the defense. So, Doc, I mean, just, you know, we talk about Aaron Donald. You know, we got to continue to talk about the brilliance of Matthew Stafford. You know, there's a lot of, you know, pressure added to Matthew Stafford because he hasn't won a playoff game. But in the regular season, man, he's just been everything we asked. And I can anticipate and see this guy making a lot of noise this postseason, man. And I'm excited about it.
And Sony Michelle, I got to shout you out too, man. Way to talk about Rock, bro.
Yes,
you
sir.
Were running hard, yes, man. And even though Darrell Henderson was back, he, you know, Sony Michelle started again. And watching it, bro, I mean, dog.
Yeah.
And Sony Michelle ain't the quickest dude, but that dude runs so tough, man. He runs with that dog, man. The holes were there. He got through it. He was breaking tackles. He was catching the ball. Hey, Sony Michelle was extremely impressive last night, even though, you know, the offensive line was missing a starter. That offensive line still took care of business, man. And we showed some physicality, and we were physically imposing over the Seahawks. So now we 10-4 tied with Arizona, top the NFC West. Now we looking like them Super Bowl contenders, man, that people thought we were going to look like, Ice.
Well, I tell you what, with Sony Michelle, Doc, you know, he takes exactly what the offensive line gives him. The offensive line is designed to give you about 4 yards, and then they leave the rest up to you. He's been doing a tremendous job of getting those 4 yards and extending the play, Doc. He runs hard. He has a low center of gravity. He has great leg drive. And you know what? I mean, I think he's reminding people why he was, you know, involved in a trade from New England to come to us. And Doc, you got to remember, this is a guy playing for a contract, man. He's in his contract year. So, you know, to get an opportunity like he's getting right now, I mean, it's what it is. It's putting a lot of pressure on our other running backs that are in that room, that when you come in, you have to produce, you have to run hard, take what that offensive line is giving you, and then some, man. But he's finishing runs perfectly, Doc. I think he's the perfect running for this offense, the way it's being ran right now.
And I think you're saying that, and I know why you're saying that, because he is, man. He takes what – he doesn't try to force anything. He takes what the offensive line provides for him. You know, he's going to hit it up in there. A lot of times running backs try to do too much, man, even when they're trying to run hard. They still are missed cuts because they ain't thinking. A lot of times they'll fumble, but we can – you know, they can trust him with the rock in his hand, trust him to make right decisions, trust him in the passing game. Just an overall running back, man, just doing everything well. And I think that's why we saw him start again last night, even though Darrell Henderson was back. It's because Sony Michelle has been that rock. He's been solid back there, and he showed again why he probably would probably be the starter throughout the regular season and the playoffs, because he is playing well and running the ball well and pass protecting and doing everything you want him to do, man. So just salute to the Rams being where we are. And just going forward. Now, I'm excited about what we can be because, you know, we had the little losing streak a couple of weeks ago, but damn, that's gone. I like the fact that it seems like Von Miller, that defense is really coming together and gelling. I had to say Jalen Ramsey's name, but Jalen Ramsey made some nice plays last night as well. He was just being Jalen Ramsey, you know, Pro Bowl cornerback or whatever. But the way we are, man, with our momentum trending, is this the Rams team we can expect to see going forward as we head into the playoffs and hopefully make this Super Bowl run?
Well, Doc, I would love to have the Rams be able to practice. I mean, I'm not sure how the practice schedule is going right now. You know, you talked about that cohesiveness from the defense, but the all three phases has to have an opportunity to gel. And I think a lot of it happens in practice, just getting the guys familiar with each other again, running around and doing their job. So if we can find just little ways to practice, I know we're in California. And, it, you know, every state is different right now as far as COVID-19, as far as practicing and doing your meetings virtual. But if we can find ways to get guys together, have some of those walkthroughs that are on steroids, you know, like they have these days. But I think that's going to be important, Doc. I think the guys who can, you know, who can sneak and steal some practice time and practice what we do and what we need to do, I think we'll benefit from it. I mean, I think, you know, we are trending. We got not an easy schedule, Doc. I mean, going down, I mean, finishing up the season, it isn't as easy as a lot of other people in our division, but you know, it's what it is. And we have to go through these guys playing one game at a time.
And you talking about that, it's not an easy schedule. You're right, man. Got three games left in regular season, including Sunday, very short week. Play on a damn Tuesday. You got to play again on Sunday and they got to go to Minnesota.
Travel.
And you got to, exactly. Yeah. You got to go, you got to travel, man, headed to Minnesota for a noon game. Noon, I think that may be noon Eastern. So that's a whole different time zone as far as back in Cali, what your body used to. So not an easy schedule, man. But if you want to do some good things, you got to face it and you got to take care of this because they go to Minnesota, then they go to Baltimore, then they finish up the regular season January 9th at home against the 49ers. So a couple of tough games. But now they can really show themselves and see if they are tough because I think going to Minnesota and winning – Minnesota plays in the dome, right? But it's still a cold atmosphere, yes. Cold environment. You got to go there. This could be a precursor to, you know, maybe possibly going to Green Bay, even though Green Bay is outside, but it's still cold as a mother. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, this going to be a big test on Sunday, too.
It'll definitely be a big test, but, you know, let's kill all that. This is just like Green Bay.
I saw you shaking your head, bro.
No, Green Bay is outside, bro. You got to get your mind right for that.
I know,
but, you know, playing in Minnesota, playing against Minnesota, against another team that has playoff hopes. I mean, you just got to – it's a salute that you got to give to the NFL. The way they're forcing teams to end the seasons this year, a lot of division games mixed in there. And it just so happens that we have Minnesota and Baltimore who are fighting for their playoff lives, fighting to win their division as well. So just the way they've set these last games up, man, it bodes for some really good football. So it's not a week off. I mean, if anything, it's Tuesday. I mean, we played last night. Today's Wednesday. Doc, we're going to have to travel here soon to get to the East Coast. And then, you know, Sean McVay has always been known to have his team ready to play when we make these East Coast trips. Hey, he's gonna have to pull it out of the hat again, Doc, and just get these guys ready, get them rested up, infuse more recovery time for these guys so they'll be able to play and have this game being kicked off at a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast.
And Isaac, man, a couple more things before we get out of here, man. I want to ask you this because you know what, bro? People don't know, man. A lot of times, Cats don't want to see their records broken, man. You know, cats look good for the camera, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was looking at Ray Allen when stuff. I was like, Ray, are you really happy that he just broke your record, bro? I see you smiling, but I see that smile kind of forced, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of times cats don't really want their records broken, but watching you and talking to you even before we started recording, man, I see you genuinely happy for Cooper Kupp and what Cooper has done, and you have a genuine respect for what he's done and what he did because – And honestly, bro, with me, I like Cooper, but you my brother. And I'm like, you know, I try to find things wrong in his game, you know, simply for the fact that he just broke my brother's record. But even talking to you, you kind of got on my head a little bit, like, hold on, my guy. You know what I'm saying? Cooper, hey, you got to give him his props, and I got to give him his props, man. So you genuinely happy that Cooper is doing what he's doing, bro?
I mean, I tell you what, he's in the fire doing it, Doc. And listen, I'm cut from the same cloth as Eric Dickerson. Guess what? Eric Dickerson doesn't want his single game rushing title to be broken. He doesn't want it. Now, catches are one thing, Doc. You know, I always put that in a category because, you know, you can run these little bubble screens and end up with 140 catches, you know, kind of like we've seen the kid in New Orleans do a couple years ago. He caught about 150 passes. But his yards per catch was probably about 11 yards per catch, man. I mean, to me, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, just like an extended handoff to a running back. You know, Cooper Kupp, he isn't doing that. But that's kind of the way I look at catches. Receiving yards is the thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'll probably be on the edge of my seat. You know, when he hits 1,700, I'd be like, oh, come on, defense. You know, make sure y'all stop him. You know, y'all go ahead and double team this dude, man. You know, you're not made. Listen. If Minnesota wasn't in the playoff run, I would say Minnesota, you got to triple team this dude all game so he doesn't break this 1,781 and that thing can stand up there for a long time. But he's staring down the barrel of it right now, Doc. And, you know, that's the competitive nature in us. You know, we don't want this thing broken, though. You know, I don't want it broken until Benjamin Billionaire Bruce is alive and well and kicking, playing football, and he goes and gets 1,782. So I want a Bruce to hold that number right there for a very long time. But, you know, those numbers are there to be broken. And, you know, with the dispensation of defenses that are being played and you can't hit guys like you used to and you can't chin check them the way you used to, it's a different game, Doc.
It is, man. A very honest answer, man. You're right, man, because it ain't no hate. It just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Very honest answer, and I appreciate your candor, man. And one more thing, man. Hey, congratulations to you, man, and your wife, man. Smoosh. Hall of Fame Village, man. Ice cream. Hey, man, that's a big move, bro.
Hey, Doc, like I said, man, the Lord is good and gracious to me and my family, man. He's making opportunities for us, and we wanted to be a part of the community up there. We didn't push. We didn't scratch. We just aligned, and it's truly a blessing, man. We get an opportunity to be a part of that village, and hopefully that relationship lasts for a very long time. And, you know, we take the funds and do good things with them.
And Smooth, now I'm talking about, let people know that's the ice cream and cookie sandwich company.
Yes, it's the ice cream cookie sandwich company that, you know, that my wife and I are involved in as far as franchise owners. And very recently, very soon, we'll be about 90% of the entire company and have the ability to sell franchises to others. So we're looking at a lot of different places, man. Memphis being one of them.
Yeah.
You know, the Carvervilles. You know what I mean? Those places like that out there in Germantown, where I used to live, and just one day having a smush right there in your community, in Los Angeles as well. So we're looking to have these things planted in different cities, man, and really nourish the communities that they're in.
Bro, you can't be saying Germantown and Carvervilles. Don't be saying Whitehaven, man, where I live, man. Whitehaven. Thank you, bro. Can Whitehaven, can we get one? Can we get a smush? Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? But no, I'm proud of you, man. I'm happy for y'all, bro.
Yeah, man, it's special, man. I mean, things are really happening. So just really glad and happy to be a part of it, Doc.
Anything else you want to add, bro, before we get up out of here, man?
That's it, man. Hey, Doc, it's a short week. We played last night. Today's Wednesday. We got to turn around and play Sunday at Minnesota against an opponent, Kirk Cousins. A quarterback who was having a really good season. I love the quarterback, the wide receiver, Jefferson, with the Minnesota Vikings, and they have a great running back. His name slips me right now, but
Cook.
The guy runs the football. Dalvin Cook, yeah. He's a great running back. So it's going to be a lot of challenges even leading up to the game to play this Sunday, Doc. We're talking about the travel part of it, kickoff, and just getting acclimated to hotels and just that initial, you know, the change in weather that you're going to be facing for a little while, and then just getting guys healthy enough to play football. So it's a big week for us, man.
I can't imagine, bro. Play Tuesday, Wednesday. You can't really do nothing today, man. You got to let cat rest. But, damn, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, oh, yeah, that's tough, bro. So, hey,
yeah,
that's what y'all get paid for. But anyway, that's going to do
that's
it.
Right.
for this episode, another great episode of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. Until next week, we out.